This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. Bridges for a Just Community was founded in 1927. Back then, it was called the National Conference of Christians and Jews. Locally, it's worked during the past seven decades on an interfaith agenda and then added equal rights and inclusion on the basis of race, gender, and ethnicity, among others. But this September, it will cease operation because of financial challenges and changing attitudes. Today, we're going to talk about the organization, its history, and why it will be going away. Joining me are Bridges for a Just Community Emeritus Board Member Linnea Loos and President and CEO Lynette Hurd. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, email us, talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Can you tell us about your organization? I know I've heard about it for years, but there may be some people who don't know about it, and maybe Lynette, you can start.
Sure. Thank you very much for having us on the program. Bridges for a Just Community has always actively promoted respect and understanding and inclusion of all people in our region through education, dialogue, and advocacy that focuses on transformational change. And what that means is that we become one. We work to equip people with the tools and resources so that they can come together and to be not afraid of whatever isms might be in their mind, sort of this mystery around, I don't know my neighbor, I don't know the person sitting next to me on the bus or walking alongside me in the street. And our goal has always been to equip our community with the ability to say, we're human, we're all human, and we must find a way to come together.
Give me an example of how the organization has done that over the years.
We've been very successful, first through our interfaith work, and that is obviously where the organization was founded. Some of the suspicions around what does it mean to be of the Jewish faith, or what does it mean to be a Muslim, what does it mean to be Baha'i, or whatever faith one might be, beyond Christianity, which is pretty well understood and known in the United States. Interfaith dialogues and trialogues have been held through Bridges efforts and NCCJ's efforts to increase that understanding and to bridge the ability of people to find a common place to talk and to become connected with one another.
Linnea?
I think it's the hallmark was the word dialogue. As Lynette said, it helped people talk. And sometimes it helped them talk through conflict. Sometimes it helped them talk through misunderstandings. Sometimes it helped them talk about things they didn't even know they needed to talk about. But dialogue was always its strength, going way back to its founding in Cincinnati in 1944. And before that, it began nationally in 1927 as a way to get people to talk.
And as you've done that, what kind of changes have you seen over the years with this organization? What has happened that's, you think, been a good thing?
I think tremendous change has occurred, particularly with our young people. I find so much hope when we have the opportunity to work with individuals who are just forming their opinions and their own identity. So if you look at children in the 5th, 6th, 7th grade and beyond, as they're beginning to understand who they are, they begin to understand the world around them. And suddenly they discover that, as sometimes we use the term, their worldview is not the worldview, that their perspective may be that which they own, but there are so many people around them that they must get to know and understand in order to be a whole person. So I think my sense of gratification comes from our youth programming, and we just had a great, great summer program at Camp Joy that was our Just Community, and we had about 43 young people from across the region who took down all the barriers and all the walls and spent a wonderful 4 days together at Camp Joy and began to build those bridges of understanding.
We've talked a lot about, I guess, the religious aspect of this, but it's really changed over the years. When did you notice that the changes really started, when it became more than just an organization trying to bring people of varying faiths together?
I would say we began looking at the change probably in the mid-50s, early 60s, when race became one of the defining areas of concern in our nation, and it ties directly into the civil rights movement. I think we will always, as a community, as a world, begin to see people differently because our lens of humanity, just it's a human nature. So I think it's so important to recognize that we're not just talking about race, we're not just talking about sexual orientation, we're talking about all of the dynamics of human relations that intersect. And probably that was a defining moment to move beyond religion in the 60s, and then looking at issues of ability and age and social status and class and sexual orientation and gender identity. And Bridges for a Just Community was a big player in one of the most important steps that this city took not too long ago. And I think Linnea can talk a little bit more about that. And that was the Article 12.
Mm-hmm. That's a great example of change. As I look back over the history of issues over sexual orientation in Cincinnati, at least Cincinnati proper, the city of it, the issue was raised in 1992, a little more than 20 years ago, with a human rights ordinance. It went through many court cases, making it all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and was struck down. And in the late 90s, that's when it became solidified law in the city charter of Cincinnati. And that's when it became known as Article 12. People confused the term Issue 3 with Article 12 because it was an Issue 3 on the ballot when the voters voted it down at one time. But it finally passed in 2004 with a lot of work that really was based on dialogue. I can remember gay, non-gay, it didn't matter. You went door to door in this town and you said for the first time in your life the word out loud, gay. Gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered. And that was a new dialogue in Cincinnati. And I think that really had a lot to do with the passage. Originally, it was voted down by 62%, and it finally won by nearly 53%.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation today. You can also email us, talk@wvxu.org, or post a comment on our Facebook page or follow us and tweet for us at 91.7 WVXU on Twitter. So with all the work that's gone on over all these years, I don't think that all these problems have suddenly disappeared, but your organization's going to do that. Tell us why.
We feel very sad that Bridges for a Just Community is writing its final chapter in these coming days. Certainly, there is so much more work to be done. We can see it in everyday actions. We were just talking earlier about the issue of homelessness. That's an economic parity issue. That's an issue where a community can come together to solve a problem. So our hope is that good friends, particularly like you and your listeners, who will say, we are not tired of the journey, we will continue to move forward, will find ways through the spaces of places of worship, through other human relations organizations that exist in this community, to simply say, we cannot rest. We must continue the journey toward finding a place where everyone in this community has access to all that they seek and can fulfill whatever dreams that they hope. We must do that for our children and for our future generations. So I'm hopeful that one of your listeners will say, we can't quit, we have to keep going, and there are other organizations that will support strongly to keep them alive as well.
Linnea, do you know of any organizations that are out there that'll do that?
Yes, Marianne. And I think that's a tribute to the legacy of Bridges. You'd merely have to look at the corporate world and nonprofit world to see the number of diversity and inclusion officers and efforts that are now within the companies within Cincinnati. We look at the Greater Cincinnati Chamber of Commerce, Cincinnati USA Chamber of Commerce, and they have adopted a huge initiative, Diverse by Design. We look at schools and what improvements they have made in human relations, diversity, and inclusion, both training of the teachers and working with the students. We look at the faith community, and they have stepped forward. Things have changed since Bridges and NCCJ started, so there is progress. But there's, as Lynette said, there's so much work to be done. I personally feel that Cincinnati is on the cusp of a renaissance. It is regenerating itself, revitalizing itself, and more people are stepping forward to help carry that effort forward. And I'm hoping that more people will step forward to help carry the diversity and inclusion efforts forward as well.
Now, you talk about all the other groups that are available now, the businesses that are participating. Was there a time when your organization, I guess it was when it was NCCJ, am I getting too many
Cs?
Was it the only one at one time? Was it the only one that was really out there carrying that torch?
It was not the only one. There were many others. And one of the great parts of this work is to create partnerships and to recognize that there are many people, many organizations that wanted to find a common ground to come together. So Bridges served as that circle, if you will, of dialogue and partnering so that you could come to the table and bring whatever issue forward that needed to be discussed. And through that lens, you began to connect with other organizations and groups. So Bridges, in many ways, served as almost the United Nations, if you will, to provide that platform. So it's unfortunate that we will not exist any longer, but we are hopeful that there will be something born out of this particular time that will replace us.
Tell us why you're going away.
Economics. It's really all about money. And unfortunately, this work of human relations is it's a very challenging process because when we try to work in our school districts are struggling to have funding for their own key resources. And as a result, when grants are not available or if corporate donations are down because of the struggling economy, then we can't perform the work that we do. However, I do want to accent the fact that one of our programs, Public Allies Cincinnati, will continue and will continue for as long as they are possible to have that relationship with the city of Cincinnati. I've been assured that Public Allies will continue to serve and to be a part of this community for as long as it possibly can.
Tell us what Public Allies is.
Public Allies is a domestic AmeriCorps program similar to Peace Corps. And as you know, Peace Corps works abroad to provide service and leadership. So Public Allies Cincinnati trains emerging young leaders to take upon themselves the ability to lead nonprofits and other organizations as young individuals 18, probably to 36 and 37 years old, who want to have that chance to say, I've been a part of affecting change. So we have an incoming class of 38 allies who will be serving the greater Cincinnati community by working in nonprofits and affecting change right at the ground level. So we're very happy that that legacy will continue through Public Allies.
So you are going away September when?
Our end of date is August 31st.
So by September, the organization will be no more. Are you passing the torch, so to speak? Do you have specific organizations you're hoping are going to pick up the slack and will do things, or is it just sort of going to quietly go off into the night?
We certainly have had some conversations with different bodies. One in particular, there is an NCCJ in Dayton, and we hope to work with them to help pass on some of our programs. We do plan to contribute our historical archives to the Greater Cincinnati Historical Society. We also are hoping that someone will pick up the work of Bridges Progress Report on Human Relations. Lenny and I were talking about that the other day. And we do hope that someone will pick that work up.
And the Chamber of Commerce Diverse by Design group is looking at picking up that progress report. And what that is, Mary Ann, it's every 2 years we go in and we do a lot of interviews with a lot of people to find out which groups feel welcomed in Cincinnati and which don't. And so you can track the human relations acceptance of different ethnic groups, age groups, whatever demographics there are.
Has it ever come close to closing before, or was this just a decision that you had to make it? Or?
I was there during some rough years. We were affiliated with a national organization, the National Conference of Christians and Jews, and that organization came into some severe financial difficulties, which happened to be discovered by Cincinnatians, which led the effort to do some due diligence, and we realized how seriously impaired the national organization was. The reason that's important to Cincinnati is that our reserves were held by the national organization. And so when we converted to National Conference of Community and Justice and then to Bridges, we started with no reserves. So we had no cushion in about the same time as when the economy soured in 2008. It was a perfect storm.
But we are so grateful for the past support of our corporate community. We, as Bridges, would not have been able to continue without that support. So many of our corporate leaders in this community have either been recognized or served as members of the board of Bridges, and each of them have made a sacrifice and have seen that the work of Bridges has been valuable to them, and we are very, very grateful for all they've done.
For folks that are interested in being involved in these types of discussions in the future and you won't be here, where do you suggest they go?
Again, I would encourage working with faith communities. I think that is first place to begin. If you are connected in some way to a place of worship, start there. I'd say start with schools. And obviously our institutions of higher education are able to assist. There are a number of other organizations, including the Cincinnati Human Relations Commission, the Center for Holocaust and Humanity Education, the Jewish Community Relations Commission. I would say working with both of the mosques that are nearby, again, working with houses of worship. Again, there are many grassroots organizations. There are other organizations known as GLSEN, which helps to address the educational needs for young people who are gay, lesbian, straight, and also allies of those young people. So there are lots of other organizations and hands in this community. Reach out and help them. They can use your support.
Well, good luck for your final couple of weeks of operation and winding down. And thank you both very much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks, Cincinnati, for its support over nearly 60 years.
We are grateful.
70 years.
Thank you for joining us. We've been talking today about Bridges for a Just Community. It's shutting down at the end of the month. My guests have been Bridges for a Just Community Emeritus Board Member Linnea Lose and President and CEO Lynette Hurd. Cincinnati Edition is produced by Pete Reitmeier. Today's technical director was Bruce Ellis. I'm Marianne Zalesnik.